May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, happy Thanksgiving. And right off the bat, I have to say, I'm thankful that you're here. I wasn't sure, you know, this is my first Thanksgiving here at St. Martin's. I wasn't sure if it would just be me and the other people clothed in white, which would have been amazing, but it's much more fun to have all of you here. So thanks for showing up on this Thanksgiving morning, even though you knew that I would be preaching. I appreciate that especially. Also, I don't know how I missed this, but I just found out this morning that my beloved Redskins are playing this afternoon. Actually, Tom's beloved Redskins as well. And so I'm thankful in advance for the unholy beatdown that RG3 is going to be putting on the Dallas Cowboys at about 3:30. And then, of course, before that, I'm also grateful that the AFC leading Texans will be playing the Lions, and I promise I'll do my best to get you out of here in time for the 11:30 kickoff. I'm still getting used to kind of central time versus eastern time. And by the way, in case you didn't know it, Aaron Zimmerman and Marty Bastian, a couple of our priests, will actually be at that game in Detroit. They found that out this week, that they're going separately for different family reasons, but they'll be together at the game. So if you're watching, you can look for them. They'll be the ones in the full body paint with the spiky, you know, wigs, yelling their heads off. So look for that. Anyway, today is the second Thanksgiving sermon of my life. My first was a few years back when I was still in seminary. I'm sure that at least a few people said some nice things to me after that sermon. At least I hope they did. But of course, being a human being, the only thing I really remember was the one criticism I got, and especially because it came from someone who was in kind of indirect authority over me. And so after the service, she came up and she said, RJ, you did a great job, but you forgot the most important thing. And I said, what's that? She said, well, you forgot to tell us to be thankful. And I've thought a bit about that criticism in the intervening years, this criticism that I didn't tell the congregation to be thankful. And I decided two things. Number one, she was absolutely right. And two, that was actually completely intentional, that I meant to do that, or rather, I meant not to do that. So what do I mean by that? Well, I could have stood up there all day telling that congregation to be thankful, and I could stand up here all day and tell you the same thing, to be thankful, but it really wouldn't do a bit of good, because thankfulness is not something we choose to do. Thankful is not something we choose to be or choose to feel. Rather, thankfulness is the natural consequence of something we have experienced, something that has been done for us. It's not something we do. It's the result of something being done for us. Or put another way, thankfulness is not proactive, it's reactive. Or put yet again another way, thankfulness is not an action, it's a fruit. And I think this is an important point to make, because so much of the time when we come up against Christian virtues, such as thankfulness, we treat them as action items, don't we? We sort of put them on our to-do list. We think to ourselves, you know, I'm not really thankful enough. I really ought to be more thankful. I'm going to work on that. You know, maybe you've heard the term, I'm going to work on cultivating an attitude of gratitude. You ever heard that before? But remember what the Apostle John writes in his letters. He writes that we love because God first loved us. That any love we may exhibit is only a secondary reaction to God's primary action, which is his love for us. That any love we show is a fruit of prior belovedness. And actually, this is true in human relationships too, isn't it? That we only ever really feel free to truly love someone else when we know that they love us too. Which is why falling in love, two people coming to love each other at the same time, is such a miracle. Or remember that when Paul gives us his list of Christian virtues in Galatians, in the book of Galatians, and talks about love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. What does he call those virtues? Does he call them the acts of the will? Does he call them the choices of the righteous? No, he calls them the fruits of the Spirit. Or actually, really, it's singular, the fruit of the Spirit. And the point he's making there in calling them fruit and not actions or choices is that these virtues are not things that we can choose to do, but rather they are natural products. They are fruit born in our life through the power of the Holy Spirit. In the same way that a tree doesn't choose to bear fruit or will to bear fruit, but rather simply bears fruit by nature of what it is, so it is with us. We can't choose or will to be more loving or more peaceful or more joyful or more thankful, but rather these are the virtues that spring up spontaneously by the power of the Holy Spirit as we simply live our lives and trust in Jesus. And this is also a really important point, because if you have ever tried to sort of will your own fruit or bear your own fruit, you know just how frustrating it can be, how impossible it is. That the harder you try to be peaceful, you know, serenity now, the more anxious you become. The harder you try to be joyful, you know, using phrases like, you know, I'm too blessed to be stressed. The harder you try to be joyful, the more you get trapped in dishonesty and denial and ultimately depression. The harder you try to be loving, the more the resentment grows in you towards those people that you're trying so hard to love who just don't seem to be getting any better. And so ironically, on this Thanksgiving Day, I think the first step towards being genuinely thankful is to stop trying to be thankful, to give up on forced thankfulness, because nothing will kill genuine thankfulness more quickly than fake thankfulness. So now that we've got that out of the way, the next question is, how might we walk out of here today actually more genuinely thankful than when we walked in? How can we return to our families and our friends and our football and our feasts with a heart and an attitude and a spirit of genuine thankfulness? Well, as I was thinking about this question this week, it struck me that true thankfulness is almost always born from receiving something that we did not expect and or do not deserve. So that might be a question to consider this morning. What is it in your life that you've received? How has God blessed you in ways that you did not expect and do not deserve? And really, that, you know, that can be a difficult question to answer, because we live in a culture of expectation and entitlement, don't we? A deserving culture, a get mine culture, a culture that tells us that we're always supposed to be happy, we're always supposed to be successful, we're always supposed to be healthy and rich, and when we aren't, something has gone terribly wrong and we've got to figure out the problem, and oftentimes we heap the blame on ourselves or we find someone else or something else on which to heap the blame. That being said, my guess is that deep down, if you're really honest, you know better. And that as you consider your life, the things you've done, the things you neglected to do, and then what you've been given, you know that there are many, many things, many gifts, many blessings that you did not expect and which you do not deserve. There are many ways in which God has been better to you than you could have ever asked or imagined. And actually, most of the time, the best things in our life are the gifts, aren't they? They're not the things we worked for, not the things we were expecting, not the things we deserved, but the things which God just seemed to drop in our laps. And if I can speak autobiographically here for a sec, I would say that this Thursday, what I am most thankful for, actually, and I'm not being sycophantic, I swear, or obsequious, and those are the two best terms I could think of that weren't scatological in nature, I am very thankful for St. Martin's. When my wife and I and our two kids moved here 4 months ago, we didn't know what to expect. We were living in New York City. We loved New York City. We had, you know, our kids were born in New York City, and we didn't know what to expect. I was talking to a father at a soccer game recently of one of my sons, and he had moved here a few years back, and he said, you know, if someone who was not from Houston was to make a list of the 50 cities that they dreamed of living in someday, say no more. You know? And yet, here we are, and I can say with complete honesty that we have never been happier. We love this church. We love this city. We love our home. Do you know we went to the beach yesterday? Are you aware that it's late November? We went to the beach in late November. I mean, are you kidding me? We are so thankful to be here. And yet, as we were thinking about moving here, we were so full of fear and anxiety. And the last few months have been an incredible reminder of God's faithfulness and his goodness, even in the midst of our own fear and faithlessness. That even when we were faithless, God was faithful. And we weren't expecting that, and we didn't deserve it. But let me also say that if you're really struggling, if you're in a particularly low place in your life, and let's be honest, sometimes the holidays brings that out, doesn't it? Holidays can be tough. Allow me to paraphrase and recap the readings that we just heard, and not just the readings, but the hymns that we just sang. Here are what the hymns and the readings just told us. God has done everything for us. God is doing everything for us. God will do everything for us. And we need neither do anything nor worry about anything. In other words, you are all, we are all, 100% free to go and live our lives with joy and freedom and peace, knowing that God is eternally and unconditionally on our side, and that someday, soon, he will come and take his harvest home. He will come and take us to be with him forever. And so whatever anxieties you're experiencing, whatever fears, uncertainties you're experiencing right now, God is on your side. He is with you. Nothing will change that. He will take you home to be with him soon. Let me check my time here, see if I have time for one quick story. I do. I'm only 14 minutes in. Check me out. All right. I was with an elderly woman recently, a very elderly woman. She was sick. She was frail. She was exhausted. She had a very difficult time speaking. Honestly, I had no idea what to do. So I sat and I prayed. We prayed for just a couple minutes. And then when I opened my eyes, she began to speak again. And this time, by some miracle, I could understand what she was saying. And all she said was this: God has been so good to me. My friends have been so good to me. I am so thankful. And she began to cry. It was pretty powerful. And as I watched this happen, all I could think was, here's this woman, this elderly, beautiful woman, who probably knows kind of what a disaster she is, and probably is expecting to be forgotten, expecting to be alone, who probably thinks that she doesn't really deserve anything in her current state, right? Because when it comes to our relationships with other people, we generally think that, you know, we can only expect something from them once we've done something for them. You know, what have you done for me lately? And this woman clearly had not done anything for anyone lately. And yet God in his mercy and God's community in their love had poured out mercy and grace and love upon this woman. And she was so overwhelmed by the love that she had received in the midst of her frailty, the midst of her undeserving, the midst of her unexpectation, that she was moved to tears. She was thankful, and she wasn't trying. She couldn't help it. And really, that's Christianity right there. That God, in Jesus Christ, takes sick, sinful, broken, twisted, rebellious people, people who deserve nothing, and pours out his love upon them in the most unexpected ways. That's something to be thankful for. Amen.